RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, on this Thursday. Thursday's always fun, especially when they follow a Shocker game. We've got perhaps the best Thursday night football game of the year coming up tonight as well. Our buddy Tim Fitzgerald is going to join the show as we get sort of some early returns on what's been going on up in Manhattan and Colin Klein's first little bit there. Quick shout out to the Hutchinson Blue Dragons for a great season. Came up just short last night in the national championship game. They fell 28-10. Sure looked like they were going to have a chance at that thing. Jumped out to a 10-0 lead. But the great run for Hutch ends in the title game. Get that in there. In case we let it slip through today. But we'll have tons for you today. Jacob Albrecht here alongside TJ Cleland, Max Power producing. Everything we have for you is what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a Christmas cocktail menu. Dazzle your date with the stockings and snowfall, make merry with a mistletoe mint, or gather the girls for a pumped espresso martini. The Christmas cocktail menu now available at Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. You can call us at 869-1240. You can comment Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for also watching us on 12 News Connected, and thanks for listening on the Odyssey app. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Pop quiz for you. Chad Forbes, NFL Draft Insider, just released a mock draft yesterday. The Chiefs have the 11th pick, and they take Spencer Fano, offensive tackle from Utah.
Yeah, that won't happen. That's not going to be the pick. Speaking of draft, Jalen Daniels yesterday, as we're kind of popping through the headlines here, declares for the draft. Like, what was the other option?
I think you have to do that. That's why they do that. If you want to enter your name, you have to actually declare yourself into the draft. That's okay. Why you do it.
Okay.
But it's funny that
we don't see every senior across the country declare for the draft.
No, you don't. But for those that have a chance to be drafted, you do. Like,
but they, I guess you just don't have to like make a big announcement about it.
It's not a, it's different. Yeah, I think you literally just have to like tweet out an NFL draft picture. Like, guys do it, but you know, it's okay. Cool to do it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But it's, you know, it's not groundbreaking news that he's going to the draft because he can't play college football anymore. People do it all the time. People do it in college basketball too. You just have to say that I want to be in the draft pool, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it from underclassmen, but you know, upperclassmen, yeah, like it's, that's just business as usual. You're not making some decision that impacts KU at that point. Okay, just it's making true. Sure.
While we're small talking here, went and saw some Christmas lights last night. Let's check out the illuminations. You a big Christmas lights guy? You into that kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm fine with them. Yeah. For sure. We're going to illuminations this weekend, I think.
That's right. I am like, if you go see the tulips. The tulips are new. I'm the kind of guy, my wife and I mean, we will sit there for over an hour and a half. Just sitting there looking at them. Like, they play like the songs and the music and everything like that, and they like dance around. We'll listen to every song before we move on to the next thing. That's our thing.
Yeah, I like Christmas lights just fine. It's, you get so like early on when our kids were really little, we always made a point to go see a neighborhood. And I remember as a kid listening to mom, I have four brothers and, you know, a dad who was legitimately like a cowboy for a living. So my mom would drag us all out to go look at Christmas lights. And you can imagine how that went. But I'm definitely not a Scrooge. I'm into it. I don't do much at my house now. I just changed the garage like lights at night to red and green, which the whole neighborhood does now. Is kind of cool. Little trend to start there because it does look good as you're driving up. But yeah, I do appreciate the people. When I was in college, my roommate and I, we went Griswold on it. We were like, how much money do we have? Can we spare the Keystone Light Fund for a week and go to Walmart and get as many inflatables as we can? So we just had like, you know, it was insane. We would just put everything, anything we could afford, it got plugged in and blown up or lit up or whatever it could be. So we did that. That was fun. But now, yeah, I appreciate the people that do it. Anchor those down today, by the way. Go flying across the neighborhood. We're going to have a nasty day today with the wind, but that's awesome. I haven't been to Illuminations in several years. I'm glad we're going this weekend. It'll be fun.
It's true. Golf game's back. Well, we're doing some housekeeping here. Went to the driving range yesterday. I think we're officially back. I need to get a tee time.
Play around?
No, I didn't have time. I wanted to go to the range first before
too busy
I played.
With the Christmas lights.
Just in case the golf game wasn't good, I didn't want to waste my time out on the actual course. And then it was good, and I'm like, well, let's see what they got. And there was not a tee time to be found. It was too nice outside.
Yeah, it didn't even cross my mind. I wonder if I have time today. I don't think I do.
Today is going to be awful.
I think. Oh, that's right. Today's the crap weather day. Tomorrow then. Tomorrow maybe. I'll hit the range. I was thinking about it as going to play around, but I could go to the range. I'd go to the range tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that too. That's a good idea. I hadn't swung a club in a while. Well, I'm glad your game's back. We'll fully expect sub 80 all year next year when the courses open up. Shockers get a win last night and miss a bunch of free throws. We'll talk about this on the other side. But that, just as we're going through the notes here, they do beat Wofford. They miss the cover by 1 point for all those interested in that sort of thing. But it's 84-73. I think the line was 12. So, and it's, again, a bunch of missed free throws. But we'll talk about it and dig into that game as they now just have one more on Sunday before the start of conference play after the week off for the holiday. We're there. So what do we think? Let's set some expectations here for this bad boy. We'll be kind of off and on doing some traveling. We'll have no shows around holidays. So today's a pretty good day to take a look at that before that final non-conference game. So we'll do that on the other side as well. Let's get you right out of the gates with a giveaway here this morning. You want to win some HTO? You can do it right now. Just text us to win. Enter the contest by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That gets you one entry you can enter every day Message and data rates apply. A free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from while you're in there. If you're in East Wichita or Derby, check out all the amazing coffee drinks. Now the Snickerdoodle Latte. There's a new coffee launch coming here in a little bit. The Peppermint Mocha is back this year. And of course, all your holiday and Christmas stocking stuffer needs, gift cards, hats, shirts, all the fun stuff, all the good snacks. Go to HTO, get your free tea, win it with us. Text this keyword tea to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk Shockers. Big winners last night. Winners last night against Wofford. 84-73. We'll have that. We have Tim Fitzgerald coming in just a little bit as well. Can't wait to talk to him about everything going on with Colin Klein, his take on Jace Brown. Hey, we watched a wide receiver for Hutch catch a touchdown in the national championship game last night. And he looked
threw up the K-State gloves on TV afterwards.
That's right.
Everybody
he should have practiced that. He went too fast with it. He was, you know, just hold it there and give us a look. But he had a good play. He had a good game. We'll talk to Fitz about that. And we will have PJ Glasser in. I don't know if I am fired up for Rams Seahawks tonight. I cannot wait for that game. So we'll get his take on it. What do we expect? What do we think? It's fantasy football playoffs starting tonight. Stressful football the rest of the way. We'll have all.
Did you see my message? I got last place by 2 yards in our league.
Well, it's just as hard to get last as it is first. You know, you got to try hard at that. Congratulations. I'm proud of
you. A lot of picks next year.
We'll talk Shockers.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you. Glad to be with you. Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long. The NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. We come back with you here on this Thursday, getting ready for a big second hour. PJ Glasser, Tim Fitzgerald joining the show. But let's talk Shockers in action Wednesday night. 84-73 winners over Wofford. That was about the line for, you know, if you're looking for not knowing anything about Wofford, that was the expected outcome. They are, they're not great this year, but they're not the worst team the Shockers have played. So, you know, 11-point win, you probably feel fine about it. Should have been more though, TJ, because again, and this can't, I hope this isn't something that develops into a trend. Shockers can't hit any free throws in the second half, miss 8 free throws in the second half. They got it kind of under control by the very end of the game, but you know, we could all see it there. What was an 11-point win probably should have been more like 15-16-point win had they hit those free throws. So other than that, well, first, I guess we start there. Any concern this lingers?
It's such a weird thing. And it's what Coach Mills talked about with us on Monday morning. If you missed any of that, go back on the Odyssey app and listen to the Paul Mills interview. They, you know, it's such a mental thing, you know, and they're good at shooting free throws.
Right.
Then they had a bad game against DePaul. And now I think it's just the fact that they're 19 and 20 years old. And it's like, well, I got to make sure I make this one, you know, and that's just what it's 90% mental, 100%, 90% mental. I almost got that's all that goes into it, I think, is what it is. I don't think it lingers. I think that maybe the Christmas break off will help them come back and flush it down the drain. They just need to have one good game and I think it'll go away. I'm not worried so much about that. It's more so to me, if there's anything to worry about from last night, it's just the fact that they can't fend off the big run, no matter who they're playing.
Right. It happens from anyone. It happens whether they're playing a great team. It happens if they're playing Wofford. And we saw it last night. You know, the first half, they get out to a nice, cozy lead. Looks like they're in control. They're up 12. And they got beat in the second half, which is an easy talking point for Paul Mills. You just got beat at home by Wofford in the second half. That can't happen. Now, again, that wouldn't have happened had they hit free throws, but it did. I thought Kenyon Giles, who after the game, by the way, against DePaul, like made sure that everybody knew, like, that's on us, man. Those free throws, that's on us. And it is. He's right. It's good to get Will Berg back. He hit his free throws late. He kind of reset the tone. He was 9-10. You know, you take he and Drake Hindell hit free throws, but, you know, a lot of other guys had been, including TJ Williams. That's going to be a big part of his game. He's got to be automatic from the line. But I thought, you know, if we're talking like player of the game type of stuff, Kendall was really good, but man, it was good to see Will Berg back. That was one of his best games as a Shocker.
Yeah. Those two guys, which Will isn't going to come off the bench. He's going to be a starter, I imagine. I don't think that they're going to keep running a core four out there. He didn't play
versus a core four's 10.
I think that there may have been a foul trouble thing or something in that. I can't imagine there was a world where that was by design, if only him only playing 10 minutes, but You know, they've got pieces. I think the thing that confuses me the most about the Shockers now is that we really saw this blossom earlier in the year, and now it feels like it's kind of, you know, guys are confused about the roles, I think. And I think that
really
it's confusing for us a little bit too. You know, you see the first couple games and it's like, Giles can shoot it 40 times. I don't care. Like, go ahead. And then, you know, you see teams start to adjust and take him away. And that's kind of what happened in the Bahamas. And then it was like, TJ Williams can step up and make plays. And then now he's, you know, he's had a, you know, the last two games haven't been his best two games either. And then you think about, you know, Kendall coming off the bench. He just goes 100 miles an hour all the time. It turned into points last night. Where does he fit into that mix? Where does Mike Gray fit in? Is he going to be just a guy that brings the ball down, sets up plays, and shoots threes? Or is he going to be a legit scoring option? Like, I think that they are still – it feels like they've gotten confused, I think. I think that their identity has gotten them gotten themselves confused, excuse me. It's a little bit like KU, you know, whenever they figured something out, and then when Peterson plays, they're like, what do we do now? Darren Peterson's out here with us. And that's not the same thing as the Shockers, but in a little bit, that's the comparison, I think.
You know, I think it's fine that they play so many guys, so many minutes. I think especially when we see the opponent's propensity to, you know, to get on a run. More than just a run. Obviously, we know the cliche, teams make runs in college basketball. This is something a little different than that, I think. Like, we're seeing the Shockers kind of give it up a little bit. Like, they just they clinch up and they can't run what they were just doing, right, to get them the lead. So I think for me, it's like, we're going to have one more game here. What do we think of what we're seeing? Like, I'm trying my best to remember back to this time of year, the last 2 years, and like rack my brain of like, okay, what do we think? I still think this group, generally speaking, feels, I think, a little more talented, but even a little more locked in and same-minded. As the last few years, I think they'll have more options. I actually kind of like the depth because, you know, was it year one? It was Colby Rogers, and it's like, well, it's going to be Rogers or nothing. You know, last year, I don't even remember. Now it's like, okay, one night, like, it's going to start with Giles, and that's fine. Because if Giles is shooting, like last night, you let that shot great last night. You know that TJ Williams is an option if it gets ugly. Maybe Kendall can do something like that. We know they can go through their bigs. We've seen that enough. Berg and a core four. Like, if they want to start a game that way, and they probably should, they can. So they've got a few options. It's really, to me, it's more about like, okay, now how does this translate into conference play? Where do they finish? How can they finish? Because 7-5 going into conference play is worst record going into conference play Paul Mills has had, I believe.
He's always had the hot non-conference starts, and then it kind of sputters, and they get into conference play. But again, he's told this is the hardest non-conference that they've played. So maybe it's a good thing that they've faced adversity, so they can have it figured out by the time they get into conference play.
They do. I mean, they feel more prepared. I'm just looking back at those schedules, and yeah, they didn't really. They had some wins, but you know, they beat K-State last year. But there weren't any that you're like, okay, like that's a big time win. This year, it's not that beating Loyola. Okay, I haven't gone back and looked at Loyola, but I think the way they played St. Mary's gave me some hope. At Northern Iowa, quad one win. DePaul is a game we feel like, and that's where, and I don't like doing this because at the end of the day, you either win or you lose, but they should have won the DePaul game. You'd have felt really good about that. They could have won the St. Mary's game. You at least feel okay about that, same at Boise State. So there are moments here where you're seeing them play those games. And yes, they have to do some things to be able to close the door on those wins. But I think about those things when I think about the American. And I'm like, okay, like just skill wise, this team will have a shot to be, I think, as good as anybody in the league. And I don't think anybody's running away with the league, by the way, this year. But it seems like if they don't finish, I mean, Tulsa's inside the top 75. Memphis is inside the top 75. South Florida's at 85. And then you have Wichita State at 96 right now in the KenPom. And then everybody else below them. So to me, that makes me say this team needs to be competing for a conference championship.
I mean, this is, I think the best way to describe Wichita State, because it's going to be a weird year. I think, like, I think that the American will, you know, it's not going to be what it has been in the past. And a big part of that is because Memphis isn't as good as they typically are. And Tulsa is a lot better than they typically are too, for that fact. They will go into every game. Like, there's not a game on the schedule where Wichita State, you'll go into it and say, well, if they win this one, it'd be a big deal. You know, like, they should win every single game that they play. Like, lose, it's a disappointment. And that's what Paul Mills would tell you every single year. But for us, whenever they went to Boca Raton and played Florida Atlantic those years, it's like, you want them to beat freaking Dusty May? That's an upset if that happens. Like, there's not an upset. Like, they should be able to go on the road to Memphis and win.
And I think that's both because, you know, like you said, Memphis has come, but I think it's because the Shockers' floor has come up too. Like,
exactly.
We haven't seen a full, like, we haven't, there's not a moment in the year where, like, that was their best game. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I mean that as probably a good thing, because you seem to have a group that is absolutely locked in. I've liked the character of this team all non-con long. They have one more to play, but that's never been in question for me. Like, they're bought in, they're ready to roll. They've had some moments where you're like, that should have been a win, which is not okay, right? Like, at some point you need to win those games, but you're right. They should never not expect to win a home game they play the rest of the season. And there should be no road game there. I mean, they're not probably, unless there's some injuries or something crazy, there's probably never going to be a line where they're more than, like, I don't know, a 5-point dog, maybe, on the road in some games. So this is the opportunity, the best opportunity, and the only path we know is through the conference. We get it. Go win a conference championship. Like, it's time for that now. Like, the finishes the last couple of years in the conference, not good enough. This has got to be the year. This is the year where you're up there fighting for a conference championship at the end of this season. And I don't think we've seen anything up to this point that changes that at all. Like, that is where they are. They finished 10th and 8th in the conference the last 2 years. Like, it's got to be top four.
It can't happen.
At worst, top four.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing, you talked about the wins and the losses and the close margins of victories, and I agree that, you know, moral victories don't mean anything in college basketball. But if you want to be the team, and they've kind of taken a stance on the fact of, like, we should have won that game and were upset about it, but we should have won that game. Like, if that's true, like, you're right. You haven't looked bad yet. Like, I don't know if they have. Have they looked bad yet? I'll ask you that question.
Had they had a game where you're, like,
They didn't look good against Western Kentucky.
That was going to be the one I picked out.
But they didn't look bad against Western.
But they only lost. I mean, they lost the game by 5 points. But I agree with you. That was the one where I was like, "What was that?" Right? Western Kentucky's not. I mean, they're not bad. They're okay. But that felt uninspired. I agree.
So, I mean, per KenPom standards, they've gotten upset a couple of times. But again, like, those are losses that you take away one thing and it's fixed. And to their credit, they've worked on it, on the things that they needed to work on. And, like,
KenPom agrees with us. I mean, it's been a while since we've been at this point of the season that I can remember that the Shockers have been inside the top 100. Which is
last year. Last year they floated around 70 and they lost to UMKC and then fell to like 120.
Yeah, I which is crazy to say out loud. Right, 100? Like, really? 100? So they have a tremendous opportunity in front of them. Is like, the point of this for me is they absolutely should be competing for a conference championship this year. And there has been nothing that we've seen that tells us otherwise. The challenge will be, how does this team learn how to finish them? Right? How does this team learn how to put them away? How do you win a first half the way they did yesterday and not find a way to lose the second half? No, and it's happened for a variety of reasons, right? Or vice versa, come out flat and get kind of beat up a little bit And that's what we saw earlier in the year. And then they were making these second half surges, and now it's kind of flipped upside down.
That's what I'm, that's my biggest point. Like, if you take anything away from yesterday, it's kind of like the perfect example of the season of like, they're letting Wofford, and I think Taylor Eldridge said it best, like they just played with their food, and it's kind of what they've done, but like they got away with it with Wofford. That's why they couldn't get it done in these losses that they had. It's like they played with their food too long and let them make a 13-0 run in the second half. And like it happens every game. Like that's the one trend that you look at and you're like, if you can just get some stops on these runs, like you'll win the game.
That in free throws recently.
Free throws recently, right. I guess.
You hit some free throws. You beat DePaul. You hit some free throws, and then you're covering the number last night. And then you're on a 4-game win streak after the holiday tournament, probably 5, better be, going into conference play. And that would be a good place to be. Remember, this is the year they open on the road at UAB, at Charlotte. So I don't want any excuses, though. Right. Like, I know that sucks and I know that's tough, but no coming out of the gates going 0-2. You got to go find a way to win a road game in the conference, which is a big ask. I get it. By the way, on that, you've got UAB is 1-15. So that'll be pretty tough. And I don't think Charlotte's very good at all. Just verifying that. Yeah, Charlotte's not good. Charlotte's 4-7 outside the top 200 in the KenPom. So you better at least be 1-1 there. But why not go be 0-2? I mean, 2-0, sorry. Why not go be 2-0? I mean, that's the thing. Like, is this the team that can go on the road and go win a game in Birmingham? I think so.
That's sure. It's the best chance they've had since Birmingham joined the conference.
Well, like, they've had some pretty good years. I mean, you go beat Northern Iowa, you can go beat UAB. Northern Iowa, I think, is probably, you know, better. They're right there, if they're not better. Then UAB will be. So what are you going to do with it? Shockers, go, well, hit some free throws first and foremost. That would help. That's what a weird thing to happen to a team that's a good free throw shooting team. 15-23 in the second half. They did exactly what they wanted to do, right? You get to the line, and they were. And Wofford was just hacking them there at the end of the game. It was like, you drive in, they're going to foul you. They were gassed, right? And the Shockers approached it. And Mills and the staff had him doing the exact right thing. Like, they are gassed. Go attack them at the basket. They can't do anything but foul right now. And they were. And you miss 8 free throws. It's like, God dang it.
Did you see the subplot last night that Taylor was tweeting about of Wofford's assistant coach? A director of player development, Andrew Muse, was a former grad assistant at Wichita State the last 2 years, got hired at Wofford this year. And so Mills, whenever they were going to the north side of the court to Wofford's bench, Mills would say, set three, set three. And he would stand up and he'd say, opposite corner, here it comes. And they knew the plays that were coming because this guy coached with Mills for 2 years. And so he said, like, it didn't matter half the time because Wichita State's so much bigger than Wofford was. But, like, a lot of times, like, the pass wasn't there. It's like, all right, draw something else up. Try that.
That's pretty funny. No, I did not catch that. It was a good test. Wofford was scrappy. I give Wofford some credit. Like, they were trying to hang in there. They were clearly physically outmatched, but they did. And that's the thing. Like, it was the exact right strategy, executed perfectly. They're gassed. Get to the line. Shockers did 23 times in the second half, but you can't miss that many of them. That could have easily been a game where the Shockers go away winning that by 18 or 19 points if they hit some of those, but they let them hang around. They got to stop, to your point, playing with their food. Put them away. When you get to the American and you're in, and this, listen, I didn't listen to postgame last night, but I know after Saturday's game, Kenyon Giles said, we know that when we start playing conference games, like, this is what it's going to be. They're going to be one possession games, and we have to be able to do that. So it's a mental thing. There's not anything the coaches can do about it, right? What are they going to do? Make them line up and shoot free throws? That's not going to do anything. These guys have shot free throws their entire lives. They just got
90% mental.
Wash it clear. I mean, I guess you could say, like we said, you just go, you miss one, you run it up and down, but that doesn't seem like that would be very effective with 20-year-olds. Let's bounce around. There's quite a few NFL headlines to get to today. You've got the game tonight. It's a 1.5-point line. I can't wait for it. We'll get we'll get all those angles and stuff from PJ Glasser. I don't think Davante Adams is going to play, But this is a big time game. Like, I love this. Now you've got all this Puka Nacua drama. I don't know what's going on there. Like, what seemed like one of the quietest times players that there is like, goes on a live stream and just goes ham on everything that he possibly can. Sean McVay apparently had a kid this week and has the flu. Devontae Adams is probably out. If the Rams can overcome this and go win in Seattle on the road, I'll be pretty impressed. And Seattle, the opportunity's there. And I think PJ Glasser will tell us Seattle's been so much better on the road, but man, what an opportunity for the Seahawks tonight. It's fantasy football playoffs. So TJ, I got a lot riding on my boy Stafford here. I'm a little worried.
Of all the eliminated teams, if you've got any Rams or Seahawks, just put them in over them. Like,
I know, but Seahawks defense is good. Here is a real, and we'll parlay this into some Chiefs talk. This is relevant, I promise. It's not just talking fantasy football, which I know nobody wants. But I have a decision to make, and this is an interesting one. Colby Parkinson, who is the Rams tight end who's come on like crazy lately, Devontae Adams is out, or Travis Kelce. How do you handle Kelce? How do the Chiefs handle Kelce? And how do the Chiefs handle all of these guys right now? Isn't that crazy? Like, we're to the most important part. You're like, yeah, I probably need to sit Kelce for Colby Parkinson. But it's real. Like, it might be the play.
I know. I have no idea. I have no idea what the Chiefs are going to look like for these next three games. I've got absolutely no inkling of an idea. Like,
did you see the practice report yesterday? Practice report yesterday. Leo Chenal, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Moore, Rashee Rice, Juwan Taylor, Tyquan Thornton did not practice at all, and Chris Jones was limited. I don't think Trey Smith practiced either. He didn't have an official designation. I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, we talked about that with Josh Briscoe on Monday. Like, is this going to look like a bowl game? Like, how much are the starters going to play in these next three games? Like, you don't want to just be the NBA and just load management. Yeah, go home, guys. We got it from here.
There is like no chance Andy Reid will do that. By the way,
I don't think so.
But what are you supposed to do? Like, it's the Titans. Speaking of fantasy, I'm playing the Titans defense in fantasy football in like the second to last round. I went and picked them up off the scrap heap. Like, what are the Chiefs couldn't run an offense with Patrick Mahomes. What are they going to do now?
I don't know. I'm so curious to watch this game. Like I said, I am so I'm more excited to watch this game than I was the Texans game on Sunday night a couple weeks ago. Because I want to see what the heck it's going to look like. Like, is Gardner Minshew going to lead an offense to a win over the Titans, albeit? But
yeah,
can he lead the Chiefs to a win? I don't know.
I mean, I do think there is, like, Minshew's role is an important one. Like, that is something to watch. If Minshew can come in and have some success, there is at least a 50-50 chance whoever the quarterback is next year is going to need to play four games. Like, or two games, or one game, or no games, but be ready to play games with Patrick Mahomes coming off the most serious injury of his football playing career. So, you know, I think Minshew's role is important to watch. He and Mahomes are such different players, right? Like, they're just not the same player. Minshew's, he's going to rely, I think, on what the play design is, which might not be a bad thing, right? But now, like, if Rashee Rice has a concussion, and that's why he missed practice, and Tyquan Thornton, by the way, are you rushing those guys back?
I mean, do they play again? Like, that's my question.
Well, with a concussion, yes, probably. But you're going to be careful. At minimum, you're going to be careful.
We've never, like, honest to goodness, I have questions about how this works, because you know, in my Chiefs fandom of my years, you know, obviously when I was a little kid, they were bad, but like,
no, I don't listen. They'll try to win. Look around the NFL. Okay. There are a lot of NFL teams that are eliminated.
Don't like to tank.
No. And neither do coaches, yes. Right? They're like, you don't get a lot of opportunities at this thing. And that, if you heard Travis Kelce on his New Heights yesterday, like, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to do this. Guys are playing for contracts next year. Like, there aren't, you know, Chris Jones's situation is different than let's say, I don't know, Jawan Taylor's, who is probably going to be needing a job next year. So, or Trent McDuffie, who is trying to prove that he's one of the top guys in the league. Chris Jones, I don't know that I would play him the rest of the way. I would be very careful with Chris Jones. But do we really need to be careful with these young players?
No.
Concussions are one thing. Yes, you don't need to play the concussed dudes. But it's a tough ask to say, all right, like you would go under normal circumstances, but we're not going to have you go right now. There's 3 games left in this season. Fans have paid money to be there.
I keep thinking about this Christmas game. You know how many people got Christmas tickets for the under the tree this year? It's like, congrats, son. We're going to watch Gardner Minshew play.
I know. But look, there are a lot of eliminated teams around the league, and they all play. Like, they all play, and they all play hard. Like, we're not looking at betting lines. We'll ask PJ Glasser about this next hour. You're not looking at betting lines yet. There's 3 games left and saying, yeah, we got to bake in the fact that they're eliminated and they're not going to be trying very hard. Like, we don't do that in the NFL. So I fully do not expect to do that with the Chiefs, right? Like, no way. What is the line on this game, by the way? 3? The Chiefs are 3-point road favorites at Tennessee. They're going to try to win. Whoever's out there is going to try to win. I think you can accomplish both. I think you can be very careful with players that look to be a part of what you're doing next year. I think you must allow guys that are trying to, you know, prove their worth next in the free agency season to get out there and do their thing. And if you're the coaches, you're working on about a billion things, right? If the Chiefs are going to take this evolution, now's a good time to start. I was listening to like a film watcher yesterday, and you know, his point was, he's Brett Whitefield for fantasy points for attribution perspective, was that the Chiefs over the years have been very effective in the metrics and in the fit, like at running the ball. And they don't. And he's like, and his point was, I get it. You have Patrick Mahomes. We don't have Patrick Mahomes anymore. You've been one of the better running teams in football. When you've done it, do it. Like, if that's what they're going to do next year, why not see what that looks like, right? Get a look at that. I would fully expect big workloads from the backs on Sunday, for sure. Gardner Minshew needs that to be good, too. Like,
Gardner Minshew's not going to throw the ball 40 times.
What's the over-under on that game? It's low. 37.5.
37?
37.5.
Holy cow. Is it Army-Navy? Like, Army-Navy was right around that.
NFL games get that low. College games typically don't, but yeah, NFL games. I mean, Jets Saints are at 40. Bills Browns are at 42. Texans Raiders are at 38, but it's one of the low totals of the week.
I'll pose this question to you. You talked about rooting interests for, you know, as we go into the playoffs, who people are going to root for. I'll ask this question on that topic. If you're a Chiefs fan, if they win on Sunday, are you happy or are you upset? Or like the Broncos, we'll say the Broncos on Christmas Day. Upset. If you beat the Broncos on Christmas.
Now you'd feel good about that. You'd feel good about that. But probably, it's hard to imagine losing to the Titans.
What if they go 3-0?
That would be annoying.
Like, fans won't be rooting for that.
It won't be all fans. It's kind of, look,
I agree. I'm with you. At the end of the day, I'm going to watch this game and like,
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer. I deal with this with the Cowboys. Like, I don't necessarily want to see them go out and lose the next 3 games. But the second that 3rd game is done and you don't care at all about that anymore, and it's all about the draft, it's like you're glad that they did, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in the moment, you always want them to win the game that they're playing. But the worst case scenario is a better draft pick. It's a different kind of investment. But I don't think you actively root for your team to lose. It's not like they're going for the number one pick. They're not, you know, in the market for the next Trevor Lawrence or whoever that, you know, that just like golden boy quarterback is, where the Jets famously blew it. right, to get Lawrence when by, I forget what they did in the final game. It was like a pick six or something crazy where they blew their opportunity for that. But, you know, it'll be interesting to watch a couple other Chiefs notes. Travis Kelce yesterday on the New Heights was referring to the Chiefs and not us when talking about getting Patrick Mahomes back, which is
hopefully he gets back in time for the Chiefs. Yeah. Not back in time for us.
And Kelce's smart enough to say something like that on purpose. I don't think that directly means he won't be involved in that.
Maybe that's him just disputing the Daily Mail.
I don't know.
Think he reads the Daily Mail? You think Taylor reads the Daily Mail?
So I don't know. He kind of seems like he might be into the soap opera stuff. He's Mr. Entertainment in Hollywood. He probably has glanced. Who's the old quarterback that was the Daily Mail? We used to have it on like the CW. Oh, Jesse Palmer. So I would I was like, what is Jesse Palmer doing? I'm like, yo, he works for the Daily Mail. Okay.
Yeah, Jesse Palmer's the Bachelor host now.
Oh, shut up. All right. We're coming right back. Enough of that. We're coming back. We've got a fun second hour. Second hours on Thursdays are always fun. Tim Fitzgerald will join us. PJ Glasser will join us. We'll look around some of these other headlines when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you on this Thursday, getting you ready for a fun second hour of the show here. We will talk Thursday Night Football and all the betting for the weekend with PJ Glasser. Got a little college to talk as well, which will be fun to get back into that with PJ. And then Tim Fitzgerald's in, and it's a good time. Well, of course, you know, we'll talk some hoops maybe, but it's all about like what's happening in Manhattan. We see Jace Brown leaving this week. What about some of the coaching hires? What's he hearing on some coordinators? All that stuff as Klein gets ready to coach Texas A&M this week. So we'll have all that for you this hour. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah. Cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC. Brew Pubs, East near Central and Woodlawn, West at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano and at Handley, Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee this morning. TJ, you guys are getting ready for another Catch a Kansas Friday of high school basketball. Of course, that'll come tomorrow night. There's a scoreboard show here and all the high school sports coverage on Sports Daily, brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. How is the high school basketball season going this year?
One more until Christmas break. This is the last week we've got until everybody dismisses themselves. So it's kind of a weird week this week as the games are kind of just getting sputtered in because not everybody has school on Friday this week, I don't think. And they kind of let them get out early and they don't want to mess with the Friday night game right before the break. And so there's a game tonight. I know that's a good one. There's a couple tomorrow. So we'll have a show of all-encompassing throughout the week going on. But yeah, we're getting into the swing of things. Last week was, our first catch it show, and it's always pure chaos when you switch sports from football to basketball, trying to get the hang of everything. So we'll get into the groove. This is kind of the preseason for us as well. So
yeah, it's that time of year, and I like the you get all the crossovers and the kind of the holiday games. I like the games this time of year in high school are always fun. Before you get into district, but the tournaments and all that stuff, I remember I didn't play basketball in high school.
So chaotic.
Yeah, but those tournaments are fun for the players. I like that they're there.
Dallas Center's real good this year. Here, I got to interject. I got a question for
Valley
you.
Valley Center, that's interesting.
January Jam in Valley Center. I had judged the dunk contest 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Interject here. I don't know if you probably didn't catch this last night. It was on during the same time as the Shockers. We caught the tail end of it last night here in the Cleland household. The Golf Channel games, are you aware? It was like an all-star game.
Reality show, thank God.
It was an all-star golf game, basically. It was at Trump National, and there was 10 golfers, Team Scottie Scheffler, Team Rory McIlroy, and they just did stupid golf challenges on every hole. So one of them was 2-on-2, 14-club challenge to where if I hit a 7-iron, you can't hit a 7-iron, and you go from driver to putter, including a left-handed swing. So we're watching Scotty trying to blade his wedge 190 yards to get up on the screen. And so it was chaos. It was so cool, though. They did that. They did a long drive competition, like a long putt competition. They did the one. This was the most entertaining, is that they did the speed relay. to where they had somebody teeing off, somebody in the fairway, somebody on the green, and you saw how fast you could make a par. And it was like 35 seconds. It was
awesome.
It was good TV. I can't lie. It was pretty. And it was night. It was nighttime. It was like 10 p.m. in Florida while they're doing this, and they had the lights on. It was pretty cool.
I could get on board with that. I could get on board with that. I'll have to check that out. I'm sure it'll be rerun and replayed 864 times. All right, a couple other NFL notes here. Did you see Tua get benched?
I did.
It's interesting. It's
Quinn Ewers.
Well, Quinn Ewers, the Dolphins are making the right call here. You got to get a look at Ewers, don't you? Like, it's not Tua, clearly. Tua's been really bad this year. Not Tua. Could it be Ewers? Maybe. I mean, asked that question 4 years ago, and it would have been for sure it's going to be Ewers. That happened. The Bears are looking to a new stadium. There's a couple other things, but on the Kelce thing, we ran out of time there in the last second. What does your gut say after you hear that? Did it change it at all?
I mean, my gut the whole time has been he's not coming back. I think that makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, I think so too, and I've thought so too. I just like he's been so effective this year. It really is just like, and then you hear him say the things about like you only get so many chances. It's an honor to be here. Like I think he genuinely means that, and I think for most athletes, they walk away when one of two things happens: either they can't do it anymore, or nobody thinks they can do it anymore. Right? They either don't have a place to play, or they've just physically like I think Travis Kelce's brother, Jason Kelce, like you physically just like, you can't do it anymore. I don't think either of those things are true for Travis Kelce.
I agree.
I think he loves
it. I think
do it.
To your point,
I don't know.
To your point, I think that he appreciates, you know, what it takes to play in the NFL. And he's one of the ones that'll tell you like, how big of a deal it is. And that's what he said yesterday on the podcast of like, it's an honor to play in the NFL. And that's why they're going to take these next three games so serious and everything like that. But I also think in that same breath that he values that so much that I think for him, if he feels like I'm not at the standard where I want to be as a football player anymore, like, and he's still good, but I feel like he probably has a standard for his own play to be like, I'm just not there anymore. Like I'm ready to be done. I think that's the biggest driver.
And then there's the thing that article pointed out, like it's hard to not go out on top. And especially when you're wired that way, like to go prove people wrong. I think his season has gone like I thought it probably would. He'd be more of a receiver. The drops thing is strange. But again, like his drops have been more than normal, but Mahomes has missed more throws than normal too. Like he's been off target more than normal. So I don't know how much of it is would it get worse for Kelce next year? What I think though is, man, they are going to miss him when he's gone. Mahomes will for sure. It's a big deal for Mahomes to learn how to play without Travis Kelce. Like that safety blanket, it would just be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like who's it going to be? And it's clearly been a huge part of this year. There are about a billion things pointing to the fact that the Chiefs have to redefine and become a run-based team. And like, it's not even that, it doesn't even mean they can't still be a really good pass-based team. You look at the Rams run the crap out of the ball, right? The Bills, I don't think anybody runs the ball more than the Bills run the ball. Like great offenses and great quarterbacks are still a part of run-based offenses. I just like there's so many things like screaming at us, it feels like, for the Chiefs to do that now moving forward.
I think that let's go back to what you said there. The security blanket comment. Like, do you think that has anything to do with this season? Not the fact that Travis Kelce is not out there, but the fact that Travis Kelce has regressed into not being the player that he was.
No, I don't think he's regressed all that much. I mean, honestly, like the drops are a problem, right? His catch rate is a problem. But he's like, we're talking about versus him, like versus himself, sure. But versus the rest of the league, no. Like there aren't, like how many better tight ends right this second are there than Travis Kelce in football?
Like three.
Maybe. maybe. So that's the part of it that is like pretty wild. Aaron Rodgers is better than half the starters, right?
Yep.
Like Kelsey's better than 75% of the starters still in football.
I know. I'm asking in the fact of like all of the stupid Chiefs offense back when it was really good. It was all, I think that the reason being, and we've talked about this, is the fact of Mahomes had the option of Rashee Rice. Nope, not open. Travis Kelce, just find a way to get open.
But he's done that for 10 years now.
I know. And that's what they were so good at. And now it feels like there's less of that because of, you know, whatever. And I'll call that the Kelce regression, I think, and per his own standards, is that doesn't happen as much anymore. And I think that that's just a, you know, whether that be a disconnect somewhere or if that is, you know, him getting older or something like that. Like, is that the reason the Chiefs offense has sputtered? Well,
I think it's almost been, I mean, yeah, he's got fewer catches. He's got, but there's still three games to play. So by his average, you would probably add about 15 catches. I think that's a conservative. Let's say it's 150 yards and 15 catches. I mean, he's right around 80 catches and 1,000 yards this year. So I don't know what to base that on. Right? Is it 2022 like peak Kelce? No, but it's still highly productive. Now it'll get skewed this year because it's now Minshew for three games. But I honestly, like, I don't think this Kelce is really that much different than any of the last, 2 years. And I still think that is something that we can't, like, you can't appropriately value how much that's meant to Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes without that, it's a big question. What is that? Like, who is the safety guy? Now, when Mahomes breaks down and rolls out and moves around and he and Kelce are just
That's what we've said. That's why Mahomes is good, is because he can do that.
It is, but you got to have guys that can do it with him.
I know.
And I hope one of these other tight ends can. There's nobody to compare it to. Like, there is not another Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes combo like that. There isn't. I mean, maybe Brady and Gronk back in the day, but Brady didn't roll around and break down plays like that. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk to PJ Glasser. We got lots of college and NFL to talk about with our betting insider. We'll do it next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on, from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glasser.
And welcome back in. PJ Glasser joining us here on Sports Daily. Glad to have PJ in for another week. Glad to have college football back. He's the host of Send It In and Betting Inside, or Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. PJ, how are you?
Doing good, fellas. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Look, we got college football here that we can actually talk about, I think, right? Like, we can get to these games here. Yeah. And then we'll miss you next week, but before we switch to the NFL and a great Thursday night football, let's talk about these opening round games. Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, A&M, Tulane, Ole Miss, James Madison, Oregon. All pretty decent lines until you get to Ole Miss and Oregon. But the problem is, and we saw this, like the time off to me is like a real kind of messes with everything. And maybe more in the next round than this round, but it's been a long time since we've seen these teams play.
It has, and all these games, you know, have interesting angles. Bama and Oklahoma is a rematch from a couple weeks ago when they played in the middle, or about a month ago now. So much time has passed. They played in the middle of November, so that should be fun. Miami and A&M, I think, are two teams from a talent standpoint that are good enough to maybe make it to the national championship and on their best day win it. So that'll be a fun one head-to-head. And then Ole Miss seeing them without Lane Kiffin, and JMU seeing if they can put up a fight against Oregon will be fun to watch as well. So I'm excited for all these games. I'm excited for it to kick off tomorrow night. It should be a lot of fun.
There you go, PJ. Let's dig into them. We'll start with I'm going to start with the big lines. I love asking about the big lines. The two group of five teams in this year. There's one, the Oregon favored by 21. Over James Madison, and Ole Miss favored by 17.5 over Tulane. You like any juice that we're getting on those?
So the Oregon JMU line, TJ, my angle would probably be a James Madison team total under at BetMGM. 14.5 unders juiced to -165. So you probably don't want to lay that. So maybe shop around, see if you can get a different line. Maybe if you can get some alternate lines. That's my angle for that game. I just don't know how JMU is going to manufacture offense. I don't know how they're going to score. I think their defense is going to surprise a lot of people. People are going to watch that game on Saturday night and they're going to be impressed with JMU's defense. They are legit, and they will get stops on Dante Moore in Oregon. On the flip side, though, I just don't know how JMU is going to score. And guys, what makes these games so interesting with the big point spreads is, you know, I come on here every week with you guys. We talk about college football weekly, and I talk about some of these big point spreads and letdown spots and look ahead spots, all these sorts of things. I mean, this is the playoffs, right? Like, there's going to be none of that from Oregon. They are laser focused on JMU, which I don't think is a great thing for JMU. And they've had multiple weeks to prepare. So I'd look at a team total under there. Tulane and Ole Miss, I'd actually look at the dog. I'd look at Tulane plus the points. I think it's a little bit too many. The Green Wave can score. They're going to be able to put up points. Jake Retzloff's a good quarterback. Their running backs are solid. And Ole Miss's defense, I think, is one of the weaker units of like the group of four teams in the playoffs. Their offense is awesome, as we know, but their defense is a little bit shaky. And I think Tulane's going to be able to score a little bit on that Rebels defense. So yeah, I'd take Tulane plus the points there. I think 17.5 is too many. And then that JMU team total under, I like.
The other ones, especially Bama, Oklahoma, we've seen it. Oklahoma won on the road at Alabama by 2, not that long ago. It's mid-November. So do you bring that into play here as Oklahoma's a 1.5-point favorite on a neutral field?
You do and you don't at the same time. You know, Bama lost that game, but they really should have won it. They outgained the Sooners by 200 yards in that game. They lost the turnover battle 3-0. They threw a pick six. They missed a chip shot field goal. And even by doing all that, they lost by 2 points at home, right? So that's the thing with Oklahoma is if you can limit the turnovers against them, and more importantly than that, if you don't give up any defensive touchdowns, then you're going to be in a good spot. Bama's problem is that they're just not a very good road team. They play everybody close on the road. You think about all their road games this year, whether it was against Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina, Florida State, they lost all the way back in week one. So they don't win by margin on the road. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they're the better team and Ty Simpson will make a play on the final drive and they'll get out of Norman with the win. So I like Bama. And then I like A&M. I'm hoping we get a 3 in that game against Miami. To me, guys, that feels like a game that's also going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire. I just don't trust Carson Beck on the road. Miami's quarterback feels like the kind of game he's going to make a late mistake and A&M's going to win it at the end. So, yeah, in those two games, I like Bama and I like A&M.
PJ, I'll ask you this before we move to the NFL. They've changed the format of the playoff a little bit, but last year, the teams that played in this first weekend kind of dominated the next weekend. You think we see that trend again?
I don't, because TJ, if you think about the top four seeds last year, it was Boise State, who was a double-digit underdog. It was Arizona State, who was a double-digit underdog. It was Georgia, who was without their quarterback, Carson Beck, and then Oregon played the eventual national champ in Ohio State. So I think it's definitely worth significance. We kind of see this in baseball a little bit recently, right, where these teams that get those byes, they lose a lot in the divisional round. I mean, that time off when you're so used to routine is definitely a real thing. But I think last year, you know, you didn't necessarily have the four best teams as the top four seeds, where I think this year the top four teams are the best. I think Ohio State, Georgia, Indiana, and Texas Tech are the four best teams in college football. So maybe one, maybe two get upset. Wouldn't shock me. But yeah, I think last year was just kind of an anomaly. It was just, you know, we were trying to figure it out with the top four seeds. I wouldn't expect all four to lose again this year.
All right, PJ, let's go to the NFL. We don't get Thursday night games like this very often. 2-11-3 teams. Boy, this is just fantastic. Seahawks favored by 1.5. I have, you know, memories of you telling us how much better of a road team Seattle is. But the Rams are dealing with some stuff. No Devontae Adams likely tonight. Sean McVay apparently has both had a kid and had the flu this week. What do we make of this game? This looks like it's going to be a fun one.
It does. And like you said, Jacob, Seattle just does not play well at home. And we saw that again last week against Rivers and the Colts. So for whatever reason, they're such a good road team, but at home is when I look to fade them. And San Francisco and the Rams are the two teams in their division that always play Seattle tough in Seattle. So The Rams beat them the first time around. We know it's hard to beat a team two times. Sam Darnold, though, guys, I mean, it's just the same old story. You know, it's like it's looking like Minnesota Sam Darnold, where he got off to this great start. He was putting up monster numbers. And now over these last couple weeks, he's starting to regress. And now that we're in a big time game like this with a lot on the line, I can't take him in a pick him essentially over Stafford. He's still playing at such a high level. Adams not being out there is going to be a big deal, but you still got Puka. You still got Kyren Williams. And that defense that got shredded last week against Detroit, I think is going to bounce back and play pretty well here against the Seahawks. So because it's a short week, you know, usually you favor the home team, but I'm going to favor the better coach, the better quarterback, and I just think the better team in LA in a pick'em type game. So I'll take the Rams. Like you said, it should be a fun one. Now that you're giving me plus 105 on the money line, I like LA tonight.
It's going to be a good one. PJ, we get some Saturday night football this week as well, because that makes a lot of sense whenever the college football playoff begins. Let's play an NFL game on Saturday as well. Packers-Bears is also one of the best ones that we'll see this week, because the Bears are back apparently, but they're going to have to prove it this week. But they are laying points against the Green Bay Packers. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, now that the Bears are starting to be favored at some spots, I'm kind of thinking I'm liking Green Bay in the game. I mean, guys, this rivalry is just dominated by the Packers. And right now, Green Bay, like, nothing's going right for them. The injuries that they suffered in that Denver game, Parsons out for the season, Watson out for the season, those two injuries probably cost them, winning the Super Bowl, potentially, when you're losing one of the best players in the NFL. Jordan Love's been very up and down. They haven't been that great on the road this season. They just beat this Bears team a couple weeks ago. Like, all these things are really pointing in the favor of Chicago. But it's still the Packers, and it's still a team that they struggle with, you know, and that they just can't get over that hump. So if I was getting 3 with the Bears, 3.5, that's a different conversation. Now that it's a pick 'em, now that they're favored in certain spots, I would probably look at Green Bay in this game. I think the Bears are better than we gave them credit for 3 or 4 weeks ago. Their running game is terrific. Ben Johnson is the real deal as a head coach. But this is a playoff-type game. This is at home. All the pressure is on the Bears to win this game. And because of all that and because of the line, I think I'm going to be on Green Bay now in that game.
Not one, but 2 Saturday games, by the way. Yeah. All right, let's roll forward here. I just kind of a general question, and then we can get into the Chiefs specifically. It's been a long time since Chiefs Kingdom around here has been in a situation where they're not playing for anything, let alone with 3 weeks to go. What do we do with these games? How do we approach games where teams are dead and eliminated?
I think it's a different case for each of these teams. So for an instance like Kansas City, with a team that's been so used to all the success in the playoffs and Super Bowls, and they're usually in the postseason every year, I think motivation does come into factor, especially with Mahomes out, right? Like, what kind of effort are you going to get out of Kansas City, I think, is legit. A team maybe like, you know, Miami and Cincinnati, like those two teams, especially with the performance that Burrow just had, Zach Taylor coaching for his job, McDaniel coaching for his job, they make the change off of Tua. Like, those are two teams I would expect to compete, right? First-year head coaches, coaches that are trying to save their jobs, players on that roster that are trying to save those jobs, those are the kind of teams that you want to back. But a team like Kansas City, you know, if Baltimore were to get eliminated from the playoffs over these next couple weeks, that would be a team to look to fake. Some of those veteran teams that are used to making the postseason, I think are teams that you would look to fade. And the lines are reflecting that, right? Even with Minshew, Kansas City only being a 3-point favorite over Tennessee seems very low for that game.
As I say, we'll dig into it a little bit more. 3-point spread, as you said, it's Gardner Minshew, who, you know, we've seen as a starter before, but we haven't seen in a while, at least. And, you know, we don't know who's going to even play in this game for the Chiefs. What, do you have anything for this game, or are you just not going to watch it?
Yeah, I don't have anything for it. Again, you know, you got to downgrade Kansas City from Mahomes to Minshew, probably about 6.5, maybe even 7 points. I mean, a full touchdown, I think, is totally fair. Mahomes was playing in this game. Kansas City's probably about an 8.5, 9.5 point favorite without him, all the way down to 3. But Minshew's a serviceable backup. I mean, he's won plenty of games in this league. I just think it's the motivation with factor with Kansas City. Like, they've been in must-win mode for the last month. They haven't been able to win any of these games. Now Mahomes is out. They're mathematically eliminated. So what's, like, why care? I mean, Chris Jones knows he's back next year. Like, Worthy and Rice know he's back next year. Kelsey likely going to retire. We'll see how that plays out. Andy Reid knows he's back next year. Like, all these guys on Kansas City, they know their job security. They know that they'll be back next year. And they know that next year might be lost, too, without Mahomes being out. So I don't really know the motivation for Kansas City in this game. With that being said, though, Tennessee is still just so bad. So I can't take it, especially at 3. Maybe you hope that Kansas City gets up early in the game. You can bet Tennessee at a live number, at a bigger number, or vice versa. Tennessee gets up. You can bet the Chiefs live somewhere like that. But yeah, if like you're in a pick 'em pool or something like that, or if you had to make me pick the game, I'd still take the Chiefs, especially at this number. I can't trust the Titans only getting 3 at home. You know, that's not the kind of team I want to take that short a number with.
Jags, Broncos, two of the teams, everybody, myself included, have thought at some point the air is going to run out, but it hasn't. That's one of the bigger games of the week. The Broncos 3-point home favorites. You have a feel for that one?
You know, that line feels short, too. I think most people this week are going to take Denver because they feel like the Jags are the bigger fraud. And, you know, the last few weeks, they've beaten up the Jets. They've beaten up on Indy when Daniel Jones got hurt. You know, they've been kind of beating up on some of the bad teams. The Titans the week before that. They've been playing two of the worst teams in the league. And then they played the Colts, who are obviously sinking fast without their quarterback. Now they go on the road. They play in one of the toughest environments in the NFL against a red-hot Denver team. And they're only a 3-point dog, but, you know, the Broncos are a team that everybody, it feels like, has been looking to fade here as of late. And now I think a bunch of people are going to bet them because they're looking to fade Jacksonville. I'm staying away. I just want to kind of sit back and watch. Bo Nix has been playing at a really good level for Denver. If that continues, I think they win and they cover again. If you had to make me pick the game, I would take the Broncos -3, but man, it feels too easy with the number that low.
We'll go to Sunday Night Football. Talk about the one in your neck of the woods. The Ravens are favored against the Patriots, and I didn't realize that until just this moment. What is going on with that?
Yeah, that's one of those lines that I think a lot of people look at that, and they're like, how are the Ravens favored over New England, right? So the line is telling you to bet Baltimore in the game. I understand it. I'm taking the Patriots, though, especially at +3. Look, Vrabel, when he was with Tennessee, always had a good game plan against Lamar. He always would. That was one of the coaches that would always play Lamar the toughest. He'd always have a good game plan. My concern, though, is that the Ravens just have not been able to beat good quarterbacks this season. I know they just beat Burrow last week, but they lost to him on Thanksgiving. You know, you look at, like, the QBs they've beaten this year, guys. It's been Tua, Flacco, the combination of Shador and Gabriel, J.J. McCarthy, Tyrod Taylor, like they're literally beating up on all the bad quarterbacks. When they play Mahomes, Allen, Stroud, Stafford, Goff, they're losing to all these teams. So I don't know how you can pass up Pats +3. They should have won that game against Buffalo last week. They gave up a 21-point lead. Allen, during that comeback for the Bills, made all those kind of off-script scramble plays that I still don't know if Lamar is healthy enough to kind of make in this game. I think that could be the difference. +3, I'll take the Patriots.
I mean, it's probably because of injury, but Lamar looks like crap. Like, he looks terrible. He's not running. He's completing less than like 60% of his passes. Anything else we haven't talked about that are can't-miss bets this week?
Love the Bucs. That's probably my favorite bet, -3 at Carolina. That spot this week reminds me so much of what the Ravens just went through, where they lost two straight divisional games at home to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, go on the road for that third divisional game, and then they took care of business last week. Bucs are in the same spot. Saints and Falcons, they've lost two at home the last couple weeks. Now you go on the road, take on Carolina. The Bucs are better. I think we would all agree with that. They just got to figure it out, and they just got to find ways to win games. They're starting to get a little healthier, and I think they take care of business on Sunday in a massive game for the NFC South. So I like Tampa -3.
PJ, we appreciate it always. Enjoy Christmas. We won't talk to you again until...
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do this Christmas morning under the tree. Can we not get PJ on the phone?
Probably not. We'll get with you, PJ, because we don't have a New Year's Day show either, and we've got some big games coming up. So maybe we'll find a spot in those limited weeks that we have to get some, for sure, college football bets. I mean, we got to have them.
For sure. Have to. Yeah, I'll talk to you boys in the new year. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And good luck this weekend.
All right. There goes PJ Glasser, betting insider. host of Send It In and the Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. Glad to have PJ with us. Glad to have some good NFL games. I mean, TJ, I'm fired up to have Saturday NFL football. I don't know what you're hating on.
That
there.
Sucks.
Well, sucks for who?
I want to watch college games. And
then
not
watch college.
It. I don't want to have to miss. If you want to watch Packers.
Who's on? If you want to watch James Madison in Oregon,
I'm absolutely going to watch that game.
And not
I'm going to be at a Christmas party. And I'm going to miss all these games actually, yeah, which kind of sucks. I might be the guy looking at my phone.
Me too. Yeah, I don't particularly love Saturday NFL football. I'm joking. I like it on my days that it's normally on. Now, when college is done and we're sneaking in and okay, maybe, but that's you fine. Know, we're set. It's routine. It's a routine basically.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in now and welcome in our buddy Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz on X, publisher GoPowerCat.com. It's been a busy season for Tim Fitzgerald and his entire staff, more so probably than normal Fitz. How are you guys following along here, chasing not only recruiting news now, but coaching news? It's just like a nonstop cycle here.
Yeah, it's been going since the week before I departed for Ireland. It's kind of crazy how extended this season's become with news, but it settled down this week a little bit as Colin Klein had to lock in and focus on coaching Texas A&M this weekend in the college football playoff.
We got our first big piece of news regarding departures. We've had a few of them, but we got the one of the big fish has fallen. Jace Brown is going in the portal. What do you think about that, Fitz? Did we know anything about that?
Not surprised. Probably going to happen no matter who the head coach was. I think he was probably departing. And it's just the way college football is. You can't get upset. You know, I mean, the kids have this right and freedom, and they're going to do what they want to do. And I'll say this, I think it's interesting that we've seen this little surge of departures here. There was a couple others yesterday that have taken place now that Trey Scott, the new GM of Kansas State football, is in place. And Trey's got a background in scouting and contract management as both a longtime scout for the Raiders, a former quarterback at K-State, and being an agent. I find it interesting that this is happening now that he's there. It's almost as if they're letting these kids know this is the value we have set aside for you in this program, and if you feel like that's more, you need more, see ya. And I think we're seeing some see ya.
So I was going to ask about Jace specifically, who's, you know, I think by statistics is probably a top 10 receiver, but I don't know that, you know, reality is. I just – like for me, it's jarring because we know he's closely tied to Avery and he's been the top option for so long. But I do think it's irresponsible of fans to not think, hope, and expect them to be able to go get better at that position than they've been. They've got to get better at that position than they've been, or they're not going to keep Avery Johnson.
You're right. And, you know, it's kind of a quandary. K-State hasn't had any breakout receivers in a while, and thus guys that could be breakout receivers don't want to come here. They feel like they won't be used properly. So, you know, it's just that kind of cycle that K-State faces. But they do have to break through it. They have to find a way. And, you know, maybe they feel like they've got some guys lined up. Man, we'll see if that all pans out in terms of what they're going to get through the portal, because you don't start bringing in players from the portal until January 2nd or after. So it's going to be a process here.
Speaking on the Avery Johnson subject, as you're saying, the way the schedule lines up, if we hear something, I imagine we'll hear something one way or another. It seems that they would confirm it, I would imagine, if he was going to stay. Is this the time that you think we would hear that? Do you think it'll be closer to the portal window?
Probably closer to the portal window. You know, a big part of this, you know, for Kansas State, I did a video on this. How far do you want A&M to go? You know, I mean, okay, they beat Miami this weekend in advance. Do you want them to win that one too? Because, you know, that'll be December 31st, and now they're playing beyond the transfer portal window, but they are in the Final Four. So does the shine of that on Colin Klein reflect to K-State? So it's just an interesting question. How far is best for K-State to have Colin Klein go? Some people think win the national championship. Some think it is lose this weekend. So, but yeah, they're going to have a lot on their plate once everything settles down.
So coordinators are going to be key here, Fitz. Are you guys getting any rumors? Are you hearing anything? It's interesting because the guys going are like, if you told me Colin Klein's coming in as a first time head coach, I'd say, boy, I hope he finds some coordinators with like some experience in that world so that they can help him acclimate to all the things that are come in. But two of those guys, then I think not Klanderman as much as Matt Wells, but a lot of people are ready for a change there. Like, how does Klein, who's never done this before, approach that? Do you go hire young dudes that are, you're giving them their first chance, or do you think he needs to find some guys that can help him as a head coach, not with coordinating necessarily, but the head coaching?
I would agree with that. But you know, there's a balance here too, where they're trying to be youthful and find really active recruiters. I think that the hiring or retention of Buddy Wyatt as former defensive ends coach, now defensive line coach, tells us two things. First of all, if he's coaching the entire line, it's probably a three-man front they're going to run. And second of all, the fact that we haven't heard on coordinators would tell me that their teams are still playing. And on the defensive side, we believe his choice is Jordan Peterson, the assistant coordinator or associate coordinator on the defensive side at A&M. So he wouldn't be here till after A&M finishes off. But he played for and coached with Buddy Wyatt. So that seems to fit the role you just said for the defensive side of the ball. Offense is a little bit more fuzzy because I think he's working with some coaches that, you know, when you're trying to get coaches away from Big Ten and SEC schools, they can match the money. If they really want someone, they can keep them. So I think he's running into some of that, and we'll see how that pans out.
That's kind of the question that I had, Fitz, is that we've seen that he's very much about the K-State ties and, you know, trying to make it the new old school, the modern Snyder, as much as you can with guys. Like, the two hires that he's made so far were both K-State guys. I don't think that trend will continue across the board, but does that keep going, you think?
Well, I think there's a good possibility there's some more, but I don't know if that's written in stone. I think there's some candidates with K-State ties that are out there that he likes an awful lot, but I he's met people through his few travels he's had, just 1 year at Northern Iowa and two at A&M. But he's kind of got this, you know, every coach starts forming a network, and we'll see where that takes him and gets in the hiring process.
Let's talk expectations. I know it's too early for that, but what the hell? Eight wins a year for a lot of fans wasn't really good enough. What should fans expect for Klein in the first couple of years here? I mean, I'd be thrilled if he won eight games. But what is going to be good enough, and how much leash is he going to have as the golden boy?
You know, you bring on a good point here. K-State fans grew very impatient with eight wins, and then they fell short of that this year. Will they give him enough time? I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here. That he's a new coach, first-time coach, young coach. There's going to be a learning curve. You're right. And I hope K-State fans will give him plenty of time. I think being Colin Klein, he will get a dose of more patience than someone else, but I don't know how big that dose is. I think you do have to be patient here. And as you guys brought up with the portal, we don't even know who he's going to be coaching next year. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know who all is leaving. And, you know, the reality is, we don't know on Avery Johnson. We suspect he'll stay, but I think that probably impacts what your projections are for the next season. If you're going to have a, you know, a third-year starter senior at quarterback, or probably a redshirt sophomore that hasn't really played that much and is going to try to lead you to a decent season.
Fitz, we'll talk a little basketball. The Creighton win seems like it's pretty good, you know? Like, it feels like they took a step back up the ladder, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Creighton's down this year, but just going on the road, it was. My guy said it was a great environment. You know, it was 18K in there, and they it wasn't particularly loud because, you know, Creighton's kind of struggling, and this was a feature non-con game for him. And but that's a nice win. It stabilizes you, and it kind of showed who you are, though. I mean, they come out in the first half and are just spectacular once again. And then squander a 20-plus point lead and hang on for dear life and find a way to win at the end. So that's kind of who this team is. They're going to be hot and cold, but that is a good one. They needed that. They got two more they can win here before conference play tips off. And, you know, it's luckily they get to, like, ease into conference play without, too big of challenges by playing BYU and then going to Arizona. Sometimes you get thrown into the kiln to see if you can make something of yourself, and that's going to be a very intense fire to start Big 12 season.
It is. It's we got to know who the players, the coaches are. The patience is not going to be a virtue here for the next month, I don't think.
No.
As Klein still has a job to do. Let's talk a little bit of hoops, Fitz. It's K-State's doing it just a little bit different than their peers. They won't play this week. Then they play this weekend and then get what they sneak one in at a little bit different of a time before the rest of them. But no issues there. What did you like against Creighton? It wasn't a Haggerty game, but they found a way to win a non-Haggerty game. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they kind of grew up in that. They didn't have to have PJ leading the way. but I think it became clear this is a point guard-driven team because it was David Castillo who kind of stepped into that and made some big plays. So I think that was a really positive sign. I continue to be amazed by the advancement of Buka, the 7'2" guy. He was a project, and you know what? By K-State standards, that's far better than a project. I mean, we've seen projects that can't exactly tie their own shoes, and this guy seems to have a really good sense of what he's supposed to do and some pretty good background. He's got very good fundamentals. He passes well. He rebounds well. He blocks shots. He's just not very experienced. And as that grows, I think K-State's got a potential very good big man for the future.
All right, Fitz. Well, we appreciate it. What do you guys have for us at GoPowerCat.com?
We're just trying to keep on front of this coaches stuff, the transfer portal, of course, and you know, we're cranking out podcasts. We're going to have a live podcast today at 5 on YouTube with the K-State Insiders. If anyone wants to hop on YouTube, or you can see it later at Go Power Cat.
If you need a Dancing with the Stars expert, TJ's ready for you.
That's clutch. I can't tell you how often that comes up.
Tim, it is not clutch.
Hey,
don't pander.
Listen. Tyler Lockett's going to retire soon. They love former wide receivers.
Okay.
Better find a short partner.
All right, Fitz, we appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas. We won't talk to you again next week. Enjoy the holidays, and we appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks, boys. Okay.
That'll do it for us on Sports Daily. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. TJ's talking about the range. I need to get out there. They've got two driving ranges, and on days like today, they got two simulators in there, too. Good news about those is you can order food, have a beer while you're hitting it. Thanks to Crestview, now's the time to join. If you want a great deal, give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. TJ, we're all locked in, I guess, on Thursday night football tonight. No college hoops. We'll make some football picks. We'll pick these college games, some pro games as well. We're going to try to pick that Chiefs game tomorrow. We'll have the full crew in for it. It should be interesting, if nothing else.
Is this the last Thursday we'll talk until 2026?
Yeah, programming notes. No show on Christmas or day after. No show on New Year's, on Thursday or Friday, whatever the days end up being. It's holiday season, everybody. I hope everybody's ready for it. We'll be back tomorrow, though. For Max, for TJ, thanks to PJ and Fitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.